Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 25th, 2017. Most just don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. You'd be amazed, probably, at how many people will call, and when an answering machine comes on, either they immediately hang up, or there's just dead silence for a while, like you're going to still answer the phone. Well, on my cell phone, you know, that's not an option at all. It might be in my house phone, but it's just not an option. So please, slowly leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. Anyway, the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, because I'm here for you folks, in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all of this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Some people ask about messiahsbranch.org, and while it's there, we are in the process of revamping it, and so prophecyhour.com is the best place to go right now. Anyway, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service also and by email. And if you include your return address and you include your phone number so we can call you back, these requests will also be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you by your request with no solicitations for donations. Now, we also have a contact or prayer request form on the right-hand side of our Prophecy Hour and MessiahBrent.com pages, so you can use that for contact also. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube. Yes, it's live on YouTube right now, and so many people, that's where they want to listen to it, but ain't on YouTube, they don't want to hear it. And on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide and places like so many I can't even pronounce. The city of Croatia, Vienna, Australia, Managua, Nicaragua, Guatemala, San Jacinto, I think, Mexico, Madrid, Spain, Oslo, Norway, and of course places in the good old USA such as Mesa, Arizona, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Seattle, Washington, Plano, Texas, Town and Country, Florida, and one of our new and upcoming big places, Washington, D.C., because the reason I mention Washington, D.C. is because they're starting to become one of the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they go to podcasts later tonight. Now, we all know that Wichita, Kansas still holds that number one spot. So now let's have a prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest. And you know, it's going to be a little bit of a change of pace for us tonight, but it is an important change of pace. So let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray that your night goes according to your will, and not my will or our guest's will, Father. So please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Lift the veil from their eyes. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, we're really glad to have on with us this guest today. I get sent things from different publicists, and, you know, they promote people that, you know, have books, and, you know, a lot of them are so political. Well, we do politics, political books sometimes. It's mostly prophecy books or something along that line. But this just stuck out at me. As most of you know, I'm an ex-outlaw biker, and, you know, I still ride occasionally if I ever find the time and the bike's running. Anyway, but this book stood out at me, and the promotion stood out at me. I just had to have this man on, and they accepted really quick. The book this man wrote, or this pastor wrote, rather, is What the Church Can Learn from Harley-Davidson. Now, I know you folks out there are going, well, what in the world can we learn from Harley-Davidson? Well, you might be surprised. I just got the book from him a little bit ago, and I've been scanning it, and it's really a wonderful work. Anyway, it's his author and culture analyst. His name is Dave Cole. He's the author of What the Church Can Learn from Harley-Davidson. Cole is also the associate network leader and assistant superintendent at the Northwest Ministry Network. We will ask him what that is, of course. He's also an ordained pastor with a doctorate. So let's just welcome him on and get him to talk. Well, welcome, Pastor Dave. Are you there with us?
Yes, thank you, Dan. It's really a joy to be on with you tonight, and I'm glad to hear that you ride a bike.
Well, amen. That was kind of my upbringing, so to speak. I'm 62, but I rode a bike. You know, I pursued a biker lifestyle, let's say that, from the time I was in third grade. You know, it became, after watching a movie at a drive-in, I just knew that's what I wanted to be. And finally, when I came out of the world 28 years ago when the Father showed me that it was an empty promise, being an outlaw. But anyway, Dave, you look at your picture, you don't look like a biker, you know, how did you come associated with Harley-Davidson?
Yes, well, it started early for me, too. I grew up riding bikes. My first bike was a mini bike when I was about 8 years old, and then, you know, had a Honda 125, then went on to college, and that's where God got a hold of me and said, you know, you can go your direction or you can go mine. And fortunately, I chose to go his direction and went into the ministry. So I really didn't ride much, have two daughters, and once they were in high school, some guys in the church that I was pastoring in East Wenatchee, we had this vision of starting a motorcycle ministry. And one day these two guys asked me if I wanted to go for a ride, and I said, well, I don't have a bike. They said, oh, no problem, we'll let you borrow one. So they took me up to the guy's house and opened the garage door, and here was a 99 Road King Classic. This was in the year 2000, and they handed me the keys, and they said, here you go, it's yours. And I said, oh, I get to ride this one today? They said, you don't get it, it's yours. Use it for ministry. We just ask you, keep it clean, keep it insured. And so that started the, you know, my love for Harley-Davidson.
Amen. Just a moment on that. They gave you a bike that was probably maybe a year old. That's a real blessing. I'd automatically start thinking that there had to be something supernatural into that. Amen.
Right. I really felt that God was in it. I mean, how many times does a guy, you know, that he's given a Harley-Davidson, and let alone one that had only 8,000 miles on it? So I felt like God was doing something. We started a biker ministry there at the church. A lot of people came, found Christ, even had some Harley weddings where we married people in their leathers. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, amen. I've married people in biker weddings. I've married people on horseback. I've done all kinds of those things, but amen, you know, about the biker thing. You know, this is a great book. I just started scanning it. You know, I mean, I got it about 40 minutes ago. But,
right. Sorry I got it to you so late.
That's okay. You know, I should have asked when my fault. I should have asked prior to it, but it's a great book. But so what do you mean by started a biker ministry? I mean, you got people that were already saved and all of you went out riding, or are you actually doing an outreach towards the unsaved?
You know, what we did, our idea was, let's go on rides. And when we go on rides, let's just be friendly and show the love of Christ, and let's hand out New Testaments. So we were able to get New Testaments from the Christian Motorcycle Association called Hope for the Highway, and just started conversations, talking with people. And the book has a few instances, a number of people that we met along the way, and how that was so incredible to be able to get outside the four walls and share Christ.
Yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, you have to, you know, Paul said a thing, you know, Paul talked about where he was, he became like, well, like an outlaw or somebody under the law, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
He changed his persona to who he was around, to reach who he was around. So basically, that's what you're doing, right?
It is. And I think the challenge for the church today is we've got this misconception that, you know, if we build it, they'll come. That somehow, mysteriously, people are just going to walk in to a church that they have never been in before, and they're going to become a part. And I really feel that when you look at the scriptural teachings all the way from Genesis, you know, through the New Testament, it was all about going. And we serve a missionary God who's about going and touching people's lives. And I'm trying to challenge the church to do that as well, that Christian people will rise up and let's get out of the four walls and build relationships with people.
Wow, amen. I talk about that all the time. You know, I perceive that a lot of the problems that we're having in the country isn't that there isn't good people, or, well, nobody's good according to the word, but I mean, you know what I mean. But is that they are doing that. They're just staying enclosed in their church. And it wasn't, I mean, Yeshua just didn't go sit on a hill for his whole ministry and wait for everybody to come to him. And then when he left, he said, go out into the world. But I'm on the same page with you. The church just doesn't seem to be doing that, do they?
No. And I think what's happened is, we took that scripture, come out from among them and be you separate. And we thought that meant, let's go in our little cocoons and just stay there. And I don't believe that's what Christ desired, because his whole ministry, the majority of his ministry was outside. And we forget that. It didn't happen inside. It happened outside. And we've got a challenge before us to, you know, get out there and make friends. The challenge is a lot of Christians don't even have one unchurched friend, and that's really sad.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, moving on from that, let's go with this. This is something that I got from that. I'll let you finish this statement. It says, R.A. Davidson has stayed consistent with their main thing, their product. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they got into trouble in the early 80s. The Japanese motorcycle industry started taking off, and Honda, you know, was just overcoming the market. And as a result, AMF, the American machine foundry, bought them and ended up almost going bankrupt. And it wasn't until 1981 when Willie Davidson and 12 senior executives said, you know what, we need to buy this company. So they raised $100 million. They purchased the struggling company from AMF. And they went over to Japan. They looked at what was going on and realized that they couldn't compete with all those sporty bikes. And so they said, we got to go back to the main thing. When they came back to the U.S., they sat around and they said, what is the main thing? What made us great? And they came up with two things. Number one, their thunderous patented sound. You know, that's obviously made them great. And then number two is the old classic custom design. And so they asked Willie Davidson, will you begin to be our, you know, be the designer? And so he came on as the designer, and we have to credit him with all of the classic bikes, you know, from 1980 on.
Right, right. You know, in fact, for the record, folks, I have a 1982 Harley-Davidson FXR. It's a Super Glide. And, you know, it was their first, one of their first new products that they put out after AMF. And, you know, it's the first year it came out with five-speed transmission, first year rubber motor mounted. It's a classic. But they stayed consistent with their product. Now, what does that have to do with Yeshua?
Well, I think the church has a similar challenge as a lot of corporations, because over time, mission drift happens and we get off mission. And over the process of time, you spend up, you end up spending more time, more resources, more energy to keep the members of the organization happy rather than being on mission. For the church, the main thing is Christ. And, we need to be about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the church. And I think we've gotten sometimes a little sideways, and, you know, people who are unchurched have a lot of them have a negative view of the church because they've learned it either from the media or from their friends who've had a bad experience. And many unchurched people have never had a Christian friend. So they're bound to think that way. The place to start, in my opinion, is not a conversation on the church, but it's on the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. The church, there's several concepts here. Number one, the word church is actually ecclesia, and the word ecclesia means a called out group of believers. It does not mean a building. And that,
You're right.
I think if folks focused on that instead of the building, and there's the other problem, you know, brother, we talk about buildings and people going to their buildings and they're just standing, oh, come see our new coffee bar, and you know, we got a great entertainment section, and I know one church down the street that from our Wichita Mission Church that has a bowling alley in it, and it has a tennis court and a whole bunch of stuff like that to keep people inside. You know,
right.
To me, what that I don't see think they're even spending the Father's money wisely, are they? Without being judgmental.
Yeah, you know, I see those things as maybe a tool to reach people that have not even darkened the door of a church. So I'm not trying to be either or, but I do agree with you that ecclesia does mean the called out one, and we're not the called in one.
Yeah, amen.
We're called out. And but if I don't have a relationship with unchurched people, then I think that's my responsibility. I think I've got a responsibility before God, because He's called every one of us out. You know, not just the clergy, but he's called every believer out to make a difference in the world and to show the love of Christ.
Right. Amen. And let's go with this. Now, we're both talking. You say, well, they use that to bring people in that are maybe unchurched. But without pointing to a specific church, you know, I worked up with the homeless and poor, and so I get firsthand information from many, many people. I've been doing this. I'll start our 18th year come June 1st. But, you know, if you're familiar, focus your brain on James chapter 2 when I tell you this. There's one of the big mega churches in Wichita that has, you know, huge, huge church. Lots of money, no problem, so to speak. And they'll do an outreach to the poor and to the homeless, basically. You know, they'll bus the homeless in. We'll focus on the homeless. They'll bus the homeless in, and then they have elders guard them, and they put them in a church, and they put them in a specific place, and they will not let them leave that area. And they come in before the rest of the church comes in. They won't let them associate with the, you know, mingle, just go sit where they want with the other people of the church. And then when it's all over with, they do the same thing, feed them lunch, in their own specific little place, and then they take them back to where they was. So now, okay, you got a mega church doing an outreach to the homeless and poor, but do you think that that makes them feel like they're wanted or being judged that they're different back to you?
Oh, I think one of the big problems that we have with unchurched people is they feel judged. And to bring Harley back into the picture, what I really like about Harley Davidson is you could be a one percenter outlaw biker, but when you come through those doors, they don't put the title on you. They don't put that tag on you. They treat you as a valuable human being that they want to meet your needs, whatever those needs are. A rich urban biker comes through the door. He's not treated any differently, but he's treated with value. He's not judged. And that's one of the things, important points that I make in the book is that the church really needs to work on not putting condemnation on people and judging them. But we've all been created in the image of God. We've also all sinned, but God loves us as sinners. And, you know, it's like that open door. And when you come through the door, you come in without that judgmental spirit.
Yeah, amen. We are now 26 minutes after. We'll get much more into this. And I'm not, I really love the book, what I've read so far. I read about the one percenters. It's a great book. I want people to get it. Now then, but first off, you need to tell them how they can find you. And we need to know what your Northwest thing is when we get back also. But tell us where we can find you, and we'll go to break and come back in 3 minutes.
Sure. You want me to share now?
Website, yeah, please. We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, the website is OurFocusNetwork.com. You can find the information. You can purchase the book right there on that website. You can also find the book, What the Church Can Learn from Harley Davidson, on Amazon. And so it's available, and I think it'd be a great read for anyone, whether you're in church or outside of church.
Yeah, amen, folks. Just a little bit I brushed through. It looks like a great read. I can't wait to finish it. And, folks, we will be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, remember, folks, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People like all forms of people, you know, men, women, children from all walks of life come to us for help. Now, you know, first off, I want to say that, you know, it's just a real blessing to serve him. And, you know, we just... Something's bugging me today, and I'll just tell you what it is. We received word last week that the options for women in the city of Wichita just got worse once again. Yeah, well, we thought it was already worse. It really got worse. You see, there was a new shelter open about a year ago, and that took in women, and now it's closed. So we just heard this the other day. So if a woman goes homeless in Wichita, it's again, they have no options. There's no walk-in shelters for women. Wouldn't you think that that would be the first priority before they'd even do a men's shelter? But not so is the case in the city of Wichita. So women, if they go homeless in Wichita, there aren't really any options. family shelters that are over there are overflowing. Even there's children out on the street because there's no room for them. Teenagers out on the street. The women's shelters, though, you know, are program-based. So, you know, if you're a woman and you really don't have an alcohol problem or a drug problem or something, I doubt if you're going to get into the shelters that are already there. I know this because I've been doing this 17 years, getting ready to start our 18th. So many get lost, yes, to human trafficking. I've seen women that have been snatched off the street, talked out of the street, into prostitution and all these things, disappear for a number of years and come back with horrific stories. Most don't come back. And come back, and even if they do come back and you see them again, they never come back from that injury. So many that get lost, if they would have just had a bed for a little while, until they could get some help or find a job, because there are enough jobs around in Wichita. But, you know, there just isn't. And so my heart is breaking tonight. And, I mean, young women who get, wow, it just scares me to death. And this goes from 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, even being kicked out of their parents' house. And that's the biggest heartbreaker. The ones where, you know, what has happened to this society? We used to have a society that if you had children and grandma and grandpa, you helped them all. But not now. I see people that have tons of relatives. Their relatives won't help them, and there's really not something that is that bad about them that they couldn't have them in their house. It's just people are too much, many lovers of their self instead of lovers of her. So I want you to pray about it. I don't know. I have no idea what we could possibly do about it. Of course, we don't have the money for a woman's shelter. If we did, we'd open one like tomorrow. But anyway, so pray about these women. But we do get things for them. We need blankets, first aid things, sleeping bags, everything you need for the outside. We're also out of large print King James Bibles and also hygiene. You know, the poor need what you need. If you need deodorant, hey, they need deodorant, so on and so forth. And remember, June 1st starts our 18th year, and we're praying to do a large cookout thing for them. You know, nobody ever does anything special for them, and so we're praying to do a large cookout for the people in order to celebrate our 18th year, which is, you know, mixed emotions. If it was my wish that we weren't needed, because I've been asked so many times over, well, Pastor Dan, when are you going to stop doing this? And I say to them continually, when the folks quit walking in the door. You know, we get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us for now in our 17th year that make the Mission Church work. We care for and minister for people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the answer. And we help them without judgment. We don't ask about this, that, or the other about them. You know, we pray with them. We find out what their needs in. You know, we got no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And then we find a way to fill the need. If we don't have it, we pray it in. This is why even agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when even guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Okay, and so now we're back with we're talking out about a book about called What the Church Can Do, What the Church Can Learn from Harley Davidson, and we're talking to Pastor Dave. And are you still with us there, Dave?
Yes, Dan, still with you. I really appreciated what you just said about helping the homeless. I want to commend you for that ministry. That's powerful.
Well, amen. The Father kept me up all night, kept telling me, feed the poor. That's a long conversation, but yeah, I'm just being obedient to Him. But, you know, we help the homeless and poor, because so many people, there's so many success reports that the people come in and out of the street. They'll go out of the street, they'll work a part-time job or something, and then they don't have enough money to you know, buy clothing for their children or, you know, basic food needs. And so, you know, we have homeless and poor there, and it's a peaceful place. You know, just like I was talking last week, I was saying I just got a call from a police officer who dropped off some stuff, and he bragged about how he liked us. He said, because number one, they don't ever get any calls to come down there, and number two, when he drops somebody down there, he doesn't ever seem to have any more problems out of them, and so he was real thankful for that. But amen, we just give them love. You know, we give them a relationship. We don't have a sign-in sheet. You know, they come in the door, they call us Mom and Dad or Pastor Dan, you know, and we give them a relationship without judgment. Yeah. By doing it without judgment, when it comes time for that miracle prayer that helps them get saved, or you know what I'm saying, or maybe helps them out of the street, or we've seen miraculous things, we've seen tumors cleared, we've seen cancer cured. I could go on for hours. In fact, we've seen so many miraculous things, my brother, that I don't call anything commonplace with the Father, but it's common for those things to happen because they expect it and we expect it by faith. And that's what it's all about, faith. And faith, this goes with your book. Faith is an action word, and that's what we're really talking about. If you have faith, you don't sit in your rocking chair and say, oh, I believe in Jesus. No, you believe in Jesus. That should inspire you. The Holy Spirit should inspire you to go out, you know, and become and find these people and lead them to Messiah, and then you bring them back to that building and fellowship
with you. I'm totally with you. That was the type of model that I had in East Wenatchee, pastored the same church for 20 years. The first 5 years, I tried to get people like me to come, and nobody wanted to come. They all had excuses, and the Lord really challenged me with that scripture out of Luke, you know, the master who told his servants to go out and invite people to the banquet, and everybody had excuses, and so they came back and said, nobody will come to the banquet. And the master said, yes, they will. You're going in the wrong places. Go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. When I started doing that, our church began to change and transform, and we had no problem filling the building when we had that kind of heart for people.
Yeah, amen. You know, it was like, you know, it's about doing what he wants and not what we want or perceive to be right, you know.
Yeah.
I came out of the world and you know, I had an opportunity to do some work with some really big radio prophecy ministries that traveled the country and some other things. And then none of that just seemed, you know, right. And then the Father cut me up on it and told me to feed his people, you know, and wow. Yeah. You know, I blinked my eyes and we're starting 18 years later and I'm energized. I feel good, you know, and we're just going into it. And so,
that's awesome.
Amen.
That's awesome.
But anyway, tell us some more about this book. I do really find it interesting, and I do the little things that I've already found in it. You know, like I say, I got down to the part about the one percenters, and naturally I like that part because, well, I never was a patch holder. My best friend was the president of a local club, and, you know, I was a friend of the club, and so that's interesting. I like what you say about the brotherhood. Go into
that. Right. Well, I've got some friends that are in different clubs, and you know, one of the things that's misunderstood about club members is they do believe in respect, and if you respect them, generally they're going to respect you, and I think that's why they have a good relationship with Harley Davidson. When they go in, they're respected as a human being with value, and I think once again, one of the things that holds us back as believers is this whole idea of fear. And one of the reasons why I ride a motorcycle is to challenge the church to not fear. You know, motorcycles are still one of the most dangerous vehicles out on the highway, especially now that people are texting and they're not watching what they're doing when they drive. it's kind of crazy out there now when you're on a motorcycle. But I'm riding that motorcycle to challenge the church to treat the gospel the same way. Let's quit being fearful. Let's get out of our fear mode and start trusting Christ. If he calls us to go to our neighbor and talk to them, or if he calls us to reach out to a friend and take care of those who are poor, I really feel we need to do that and move out of this fear-driven mode.
Do you think that's what it is, fear? I know that, you know, it really bothers me so much that it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from my point of view, I see the world, and it could be very well out of fear thinking about it. Instead of going, they say, well, I've got lots of friends, and they're into witchcraft, and they're into this and that and the other, but we're friends, but I don't do that stuff. But, you know, by being a friend with them, aren't they being a friend with the world instead of breaking out of fear and saying, no, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through His Son. I'm sorry, you know, you may be a Hindu, say, and not to pick on Hindus, you know what I mean, but, you know,
right,
that's not
right.
Going to get you to the Father. I don't see
right.
that because everybody's in the building. Back to you.
No, you're right. You're right. And when the majority of unchurched people don't even have a Christian friend, that means the church has a problem. And when you look at the Apostle Paul, he went into these communities, these big mega centers, you know, like Ephesus, and what did he do? He started making friendship with people who didn't even understand or know God. They knew of all kinds of false gods, but they didn't know Jehovah God. They didn't know who Christ was. And so as he shared with them and built relationship with them, then they began to ask him questions. And, you know, we read about how, you know, he's sharing scriptures and sharing about Christ. And I think that's where this new challenge of evangelism needs to happen. It can't be a program. It can't be a set, you know, packet of answers that we're giving people. They need to see the Bible with skin on it. And I think those of us that are believers, we're as close to Jesus as our friends are ever going to see. And so we need to be the Bible with skin on.
Here's my concept is, you know, and it was really hard to do because, you know, I've watched different ministries start up in Wichita, you know, and their first objectivity, it seemed like, was to make a congregation out of the homeless, you know, and it to the point of almost usage. But he did a different concept with me, and it's called, you know, we set an example. You know, we set an example. We give them grace and mercy and love without judgment.
Right.
And
right.
then they see that we're different. And when they right. see that you're different, aren't we supposed to be different? Aren't we supposed to be called out and different? Back to you.
Well, I believe we need to. If we're really serving Christ and loving God, the scripture says if we love God, we're going to obey His commandments. And that's why America's in the plight that it's in today is we've given up on God. You know, society's mm-hmm. given up on God. And it's like it's almost against the law to even talk about God. And
Let me interrupt. You hit a nail point on the head. Now, you know, I talk to people that write Bible prophecy, and you know, people that have been on TV and everything. You know, I interview a lot of big guests. My point is this: Christianity has now United States has now went on the list of nations that persecute Christians. And the reason for this, I believe, is part of what we've been talking about. Is the fact that churches just, they're not, it doesn't seem like the pastors are feeding the sheep that they need to stand up for who they are, that they need to go out and evangelize, but let's just stay in the building and we'll be safe. And so that concept rubs off on the parishioners and so on and so forth. So our voice is not being heard. Now, this book's about Harley Davidson, and we're talking about, you know, Harley Davidson, once you become a Harley rider, I know this because, you know, you ride a Harley, you're being set apart. You are different, just like a Christian should be set apart and different. They should notice you, just like they notice that Harley-Davidson motorcycle that you're riding, that you're set apart and different. Well, if you are a follower of Yeshua HaMashiach, you have him in your heart, you are born again saved, then you should project that same image, no matter what clothing you're wearing, or who you are, but it should project it. And that is that's a good concept. And you point that out in your book about how, back to you, go ahead. I'm telling everybody about your book.
Well, I think you're doing a great job after getting the book only, you know, an hour ago. I need to take you on the road with me. But, no, you're right. And, you know, anybody who's ridden a Harley knows that once you buy a Harley, you become part of the family. I've put over 100,000 miles on two different Harley Davidsons. Just took a trip this last summer with my wife, 9,500 miles. We went coast to coast, went down to Arizona, went up to Vermont. Had a couple of times where I needed help at a Harley dealership. When I walk in there, they don't care if I'm out of town. They don't care if they've got other bikes in line to get worked on. They put everything aside, and they help me. One guy even trailered my bike in because a voltage regulator went out and drove me to my hotel. This was a Harley dealership in Bismarck, North Dakota. And you're part of the family. But what would happen if Harley riders just kept their bikes in the garage? You know, we would never have the stories, we'd never have the experiences, and the fun of Christianity is when we get outside the four walls and we start connecting with people. I believe that's where the miracles happen. I believe that's where the Spirit of God starts touching people's lives. That's where, you know, the gifts of the Spirit start operating and the fruit. But somehow we've made it very inward focused. And so my efforts are to challenge the church to be outward focused, you know, in our mission.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I'm 3,000% and believe that. You know, it's just like where I'm at. People say, well, oh man, you're in that really bad part of town, and you can point out prostitutes out there on the street, Pastor Dan, and they're really bad people. Even the homeless, when I moved into this building 10 years ago, they said, Dan, Pastor Dan, you know where you're moving to? And I said, yeah, I know where I'm moving to. They said, well, don't you think that's a little dangerous? I said, dangerous? Where else should I be? This is where I am needed at, is it not?
Right.
And that, let me tell you, the neighborhood embraced us. They love us. We feed people. We clothe people. When they need prayers, we're there for them. When they need Bibles, we're there for them. When they need first aid, we're there for them. They get saved. Now, here's a concept for you. Remember I said that I've seen so many people trying to make congregations out of the homeless. Here's our concept. Well, they're welcome to attend our Messianic service. Amen. You know, we witness to them. They become saved. And you know what I tell them? Now you need to get to a church, a full-blown church where all of these sinners aren't at. You need to get out from among them, and you need to go to some place where you'll be embraced and that the fullness is there. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. I love your vision. I really do. And really honor the fact that you're doing what my book is challenging believers to do. And you know what would happen if we all do our part we risk you know, all of these emotions and move outside of our fear. We live in such a safety conscious society. You know, when I was a kid, my mom and dad would throw me in the back seat of the car. There was no seatbelt. There was no car seat.
I know.
Now we got to strap them into. I just about broke my finger the other day putting my grandchild in the back seat. You know,
yeah, that man, you talk like you're me, brother. I got a bunch of grandchildren, and you know, the car seats get harder and harder to figure them out and to bolt them in, and they're in the back seat. I usually call for my wife, Mom, come in here and put this car seat in. I can't do it. You know, and it is. You know, I remember riding around in the back of a truck. I'm still alive. I remember playing in in the mud holes and in the fields. But, and, you know, was, and it was be back by dark, you know, not, you know, a rope around me ever, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, so we got about 3 minutes left. What is the greatest concept that you would like to leave behind? I really believe people should read this book. Just a little bit I've read has really warmed my heart. So you got about 3 minutes, brother.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I just want to challenge the church. We've got such a great message. This gospel message. The gospel means good news, and the Bible's very clear that all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. You know it as well as I. You and I have sinned, but thank the Lord by accepting Jesus Christ. He forgives us of all those sins. He cleanses us from all our bad doings and gives us the gift of eternal life. I just think that's good news. Somehow we need to move out of all of the mission drift, you know, and all the conversations on everything else and get back to that main thing. And what I just told you was the main thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the main thing. It's what can save America. It's what can save the world. And politics is never going to save us. A human being is never going to save us outside of when Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again. He's the one that's going to save us. So yes, my challenge is that we start connecting with today's culture, that we get out there just like you're doing. If we all find our place, and not everybody's going to ride a motorcycle, not everybody's going to ride a Harley Davidson.
Right.
There's passions that people have and hobbies that people have, and rather than doing them alone, why not invite an unchurched person to come with you and do the journey together? My whole challenge is let's do the journey together. When Harley dealers sell a bike, they encourage those people to join the hog chapter and to ride with them. And, you know, they won't even hire employees unless they ride. And so it's like, hey, we're going to do this journey together. And what if we had a church, and I'm talking a big C, that would say, let's do this journey together. Let's ride together. We're in this together. And let's be Christ to everyone that we come across. I think that's the answer.
Amen, and it is, and it's setting a good example. You know, you don't. One thing about a bike is I don't have to have a destination. I walk out and I get on my motorcycle and tell the old lady, as I used to call her, say, "Hey, get on the back. Where are we going? Hey, it doesn't matter. We just ride." And the Father, we just ride, and it's the same way with your concept. You get some church people on a bike, or even in their car, but in a bike it's so much easier to talk to people. People will come up and talk to you, you know.
That's
and
right.
You just ride, and you ask the Father to send who he wants to be drawn out to you, and believe me, it'll happen.
Yep. And they're God-ordained intersections, in my opinion. You know, God sets them up for us to talk to.
Called Divine Appointments, brother. Divine Appointments. Well, give your website one more time, please, and it was a pleasure having you on, and I'll finish your book. I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, please do. Once again, the title is What the Church Can Learn from Harley Davidson. The website is OutwardFocusNetwork.com, and you can buy your books through there or on Amazon. I really appreciate the time, Dan. And appreciate what you're doing there in Kansas City.
All right. Thanks for being on this Wichita, Kansas. But you be blessed, brother. Goodbye and shalom to you.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank God bless. Well, folks, that was Pastor Cole. You know, good book, it looks like. You know, he's mainstream Christianity. But as you can see, as we talked and we dug, we believe a lot of the same things, you know. The thing is we're called out. We're called out from the world. Anyway, pray about it. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And put it in your prayers, folks. about the women in Wichita. Help us to give them some of the needful things that they need. We have no place for them, but pray about it. Anyway, we got to get out of here. Remember, always, always, always be in a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.